Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're continuing our discussion of learning how to deal with the emotions of fear and worry. Worry's a form of fear. Worry is fear of something in the future. We're talking about learning how to deal with these emotions according to the Word of God so that we can demonstrate the will of God in our lives and overcome in the hardships and challenges of our lives. Now, we've already covered tons of information. As always, I wish I could repeat everything I've already said, because what we're going to say today is based on things we've already said, but it's already Wednesday, so we need to jump back in it. I'm given some concluding thoughts about fear and worry this week before we move on to dealing with other emotions besides fear and worry. And we were making the point yesterday that it's important to learn how to deal with fear, because fear can actually cut off God's power in your situation. That's what happened to Peter when he walked on the water to go to Jesus. We looked yesterday in Matthew 14. I'm not going to repeat it all in the interest of time, but in the middle of the night, actually between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., Jesus came walking on the water toward the disciples who were out in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. And at first the disciples were afraid because they didn't recognize Jesus, but Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Deal with your fear. It is I." Or in the Greek, it's literally, "I am is with you." I am is the wonderful name of God given to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. It means many things, but it has the idea of, "I am all that you need me to be. I'm here. There's no reason to fear. Deal with your fear." And then Peter said, "Let me walk on the water." And Jesus gave the command for him to walk on the water. Peter got out of the boat and he walked almost all the way to Jesus. He put his focus on Jesus and he walked to Jesus. But as he was getting to the Lord, he took his eyes off the Lord and began to look at the effect of the wind on the waves, and he became afraid. What he saw stimulated the emotion of fear. Then he began to doubt that he could walk on the water, as Jesus had said, and he began to sink. Now, Jesus saved him, but Jesus said to him, "Why did you doubt, O you of little faith?" In other words, the fear that was stimulated by what he saw wiped out his faith and cut off the power of God. God didn't stop the power. God didn't say, "You've walked far enough. That's all. Now you're going to sink." One, because God's not like that. And two, Jesus attributed what happened to Peter's doubt and lack of faith. Now, let's make two points clear. This is where we left off yesterday. I realize if I tell you that fear can cut off God's power in your situation, that can actually make you more afraid. So we need to address a couple of points here. I am not implying that if you are strong in faith, you will never feel fear. I am not implying that if you feel fear, it automatically means you're weak in faith. People with strong faith feel fear. Fear is a spontaneous emotion that's stimulated by something in your environment, what you see, what you hear. It's spontaneous. You cannot will yourself to feel fear. You cannot will yourself to not feel fear. You can have mountain moving faith and still have fear. So I'm not saying that if you're strong in faith, you'll never feel afraid, because I'm sure I'm talking to people who are feeling fear over something in their life. Now, I don't want to dump on you and say, "And you don't have any faith either." You can feel afraid and still be strong in faith. You just deal with your fear and don't be moved from what the Word of God says. Now, I'm also not suggesting that God withdraws his help and power from us when we are afraid. I don't want you to think I'm saying that God looks at you and he goes, "Oh, this person is getting into fear. I'm going to shut off the power switch." It doesn't work like that. let's get into this a little bit. Because of the nature of life in a sin-cursed earth, we are going to encounter situations that stimulate the emotions of fear and worry. Emotions are involuntary. They're spontaneously generated. You can't help that. A preacher that had a great effect on my life used to say, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair. That's the principle we're going for. We can't stop things, fearful things, from coming into your life, but we can keep the fear from dominating us. We can deal with the fear. We cannot allow our emotions to determine our picture of reality or how we act in any situation. See, that's the mistake people make. They feel fear, and then they let their fear give them information about their situation. This is hopeless. I'm going down the tubes. Well, that's not what the Bible says. And then people feel fear, and they let that fear determine how they act. I'll tell you something personal here. I refuse to act in fear. I will not do anything if I'm afraid. I refuse to act in fear. I refuse it. I refuse to act out of fear. If somebody tries to pressure me with fear, you're wasting your time. I refuse to act out of fear. I'm only going to act based on what God says, despite how I feel. Now, our actions and our responses to life must be based on the Word of God, despite how we feel. See, in Peter's situation, reality was that he was able to walk on water because Almighty God said so. End of discussion. You might say, well, what if he'd have drowned? He would have been a man capable of walking on water who drowned. He just didn't know who he was or what he had because he let his emotions dictate reality in his situation. See, reality was that Peter was in no real danger, even though he took his eyes off Jesus and became afraid and started to sink. He was in no real danger because the great I Am was with him. So there was no reason to fear despite what he saw. No reason to fear because the great I Am was with him. Not saying he couldn't be stimulated, the emotion of fear couldn't be stimulated, but he had God's word with him, Jesus' command to walk on the water, and he had God incarnate with him. There was no reason to fear. Now, what should Peter have done? Well, he should have kept his eyes on Jesus and continued to walk. See, wind and waves are not bigger than God and his power. Everything you're looking at, it's wind and waves, and it's not bigger than God. Keep your eyes on Jesus through his written word. The living word, Jesus, is revealed in the written word, the Bible. Now, here's the second point. Let's elaborate on it. Our fears and our worries don't cause God to withhold his help and power from us. Well, then what happened to Peter? Our fears and our worries can keep us from accessing his power. Let me just give you one example. At the edge of Canaan, Israel, that generation that God so marvelously delivered from Egypt and brought them to the edge of the promised land, at the border, they were moved by fear. Remember, they sent spies in to check out the land, and spies came back with reports of walled cities and formidable enemies, and everybody became afraid. And because of their fear, they refused to act. They refused to enter. So it was their fear that kept them from obeying God's word to go in and possess the land. But if they would have said no to the fear and not let the fear determine their actions, but rather God's command to go into the land, guess what? The power of God would have been activated to defeat the enemies that they saw in the land. Had they acted on God's word and entered Canaan by his power working through them, they would have defeated their enemies. How do I know? Well, that's what happened to the next generation. Remember, that generation went back into the wilderness and wandered as nomads until they all died off. And then their children, now grown, came to the edge of the land. And they went in, and God's power was there for them, just like it would have been for that first generation had they not let their fear determine how they acted. So it isn't that God hits the big shutoff switch in heaven. It's that our fear keeps us from acting on God's word and accessing his power. God did not withdraw his presence and power from Israel. He was there all the time. But their picture of reality kept them from accessing his help. And if we read what they did, Israel fed their fears. In the face of fear, they fed their fear by making inaccurate statements about God. If you go, I'm not reading it in the interest of time, but you can look at Numbers chapter 13 and Deuteronomy chapter 1. They began to say, well, God brought us out here to die. Well, that's not true. God brought them out of Egypt to bring them into the promised land. They began to talk about how big the dangers were in the land and how small they were. We look like grasshoppers compared to these people. Well, that's not true. They had Almighty God with them. They were bigger than the biggest obstacle in the land because God was with them, and there's nothing bigger than God. They began to talk about how impossible the situation was. We can't go in and take this land. Well, there's nothing impossible for God. Nothing's too difficult for God. And if he's working on your behalf, there's nothing impossible for you either. They let fear motivate them to talk themselves out of obeying God. And they talk themselves out of the will and the blessing of God in their lives. See, you have to understand, we're made in such a way that whatever we focus our attention on affects us. And we're made in such a way that we automatically talk to ourselves about everything, which has a further effect on us. What you look at affects you. And then we all talk to ourselves all the time, and what we say to ourselves affects us. When we focus our attention on God, his beauty, his holiness, his love, his power, his presence, his protection, it builds our faith in him. See, that's why Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, and is also its finisher. He brings it to maturity and perfection. That's how the Amplified says, let us run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus. See, when we look at Jesus through his written word, and begin to talk about how wonderful God is and what he has done, is doing, and will do, it builds our confidence in him. But because of the fall, these traits have been corrupted and tend to work against us. We focus attention on ourselves and on what we see and how it makes us feel, and then we go over it and over it in our self-talk, and it gets bigger and bigger, and we cut off God's help and power because we're not cooperating with him. We got to get a handle on this. We'll pick it up here tomorrow. Amen.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.